We went to the Canadian reunion, like I said. I'm so grateful that Adam and I could go there, and Chris and Laverne was able to handle things here. Never have too many missionaries travel around. Adam's out in the field today, so it's great. Couple of pictures from the Canadian reunion. We didn't take many, but I'm glad we at least Betsy took a couple. That's the kids that they have there. They have three. Zach, and I don't know the girls' names, but thank you. Yep, and they, you know, the grandparents are doing a wonderful job with them, and their mother, and they pop right up there to do their specials. The one here is all alone. She just went right up and sang her song. You know, very vocal and not shy a bit. So they're being taught well. So it was great to see that. I had a picture of Hube there. He was instrumental. God used him to open the doors in Canada and also the New York. So they're always grateful to get him. So it brings back the old, you know, when they started the group there and everything. And so that's why I've got that picture there. Hube was out there, and he's still on his feet. He's, you know, not getting any younger. I don't know what he is now, but he's still traveling. Not with motorhome, fortunately. Now, it would hiccup when my mouse is out of batteries. Oh, there we go. All right. So, you know, I shared this picture with them. And this is our Michigan reunion and other things, our pig roast. And we've had a really wonderful year in Michigan. Over the course of summers, we had pig roast and we had campouts and we had a reunion and great fellowship. We had a baptism, a brother. And as long as, you know, it seems like every year we have a baptism. And it's just wonderful to see that. We have kids every year, more kids, and that's just a wonderful thing. So we had Amanda's old friend up from the Yucatan, Abby. We had Placido here this year. You know, I was telling him, so I said, don't worry, you know, if you can only see the kids and they have a bond for once a year, don't worry. That, you know, that lasting bond can last. And, you know, Abby's, we only used to go to there once or twice, maybe twice a year. And they developed a friendship that goes on to this day. So, you know, those bonds are important. And I was telling the group, you know, the ones in Mexico, they start them in church right from, you know, every week they're busy doing something. They've now grown up and they've taken over. And I don't know one has been lost to the church. You know, and even if you don't believe in the Church of Christ, you know, those kids, and I do believe in the Church of Christ with all my heart, but, it, you know, they're developed into great character. Who wouldn't want that for their kids? You know, they're righteous kids that are happy and all in Mexico because they did the right thing. They got them involved. They developed those bonds with Christian kids, and they don't, you know, it's terrible what's going on in the public today. You know, that drugs, you know, you can see it on the internet, these adults, you know, they're dropping over from heroin overdoses. You thought heroin was gone. But I told Betsy, I said, you know, in Cincinnati alone, one city, they had 127 ODs in 2 days. Cincinnati, I think it's the size of Grand Rapids, in 2 days. You know, you want your kids involved in that? Of course not. So that's what the messages down there. Adam had a message on reverence in God. Hube had a number of messages, so I don't know exactly what it is, but what I took away, the most profound thing was he apologized to the folks because he the first time when he opened up the work there, he said God told him directly, came to him in the middle of the night and talked to him, awake, not a vision. not a dream. Talk to him. And he says, I was hoping Luis would wake up and see Jesus Christ. And he says, it wasn't the first time. He says, you know, he came to me twice before. And so those things happen. They do happen to Church of Christ people. God talks directly to them sometimes. And it's happened in this church. It's happened in this local. And so those sort of things, we, you know, are with us. And he apologized for not letting, you know, he held that to himself. And he apologized after all these years that he didn't tell him that. That, you know, it was probably, you know, he started the local, so they weren't Church of Christ at the time. And he was worried about what they would think. You know, he'd gone as crazy or something. So he didn't share that. But, you know, these things aren't private interpretations. They're supposed to be given. And I would hope you guys would share. As we go forward, we're going to have more and more of those things. And we need to share those. I was given, prove me, and I thought it was, you know, for Canada maybe, and then I didn't get anything more. And then I talked to Mike, and I worked on something else. And I started working on it, and all of a sudden, I was just overcome with that prove me came back. So I scrapped it all Wednesday night, and that's the sermon I gave down there. And I had to look it up to where I was being drawn to. And this is the verse. It says, bring ye the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if ye will not open the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing, that should be not room enough to receive it. And I didn't give a message on tithing because I think that message applies to everything we do today, you know. And what is that saying to us? What is that saying? To me, it says this. It's a test. Do your part. Perform your duties. And see if I will not reward your obedience. And that's what the Lord was telling us last week from me. Through me, if you will. That's what I think he was trying to convey. This week, we're here. I've had some thoughts, and I was talking with somebody earlier in the week, and that's what was driving this. I hope the Lord blesses this sermon, because I don't know if it was me or the Lord, but I was thinking about this and talking with somebody, and I came up with this sermon. So, not as powerful as what I was told to prove me, but I'm hoping the Lord will bless this sermon. Do you know God? Do you know God? And this is where the verse I got it from. And the reasons why he ceases to do miracles among the children of men is because they dwindle in unbelief, they depart the right way, and they do not know the God whom they should trust. And that's where that verse comes from. He has many titles, knowing God, beautiful, faithful, worthy, sovereign, glorious, and the list goes on and on. And as we go forward in this church and it expands to the different areas in Mexico, it's blossoming right now in Honduras and so forth around the world. As it goes forth, we're going to be asked to go more and more places. And we're going to be asked to go to the house of Israel. And we're already going to the house of Israel, but other houses of Israel. And we're going to need to be in touch with God. We're going to need God's miracles to bring it forth. Same within the beginning. You know, when they had their, it went forth at the time of the day of Pentecost. It went forth. They had to have those miracles. It was like 500 people until the miracles that the church had, and people were experiencing those things for themselves. And then it went into the millions. And the same is going to happen now. And we need those miracles. So I want to focus on that last part. Do we know God? I want to talk about what God is. Alma 8:104 says this, and shall be brought and be arraigned before the bar of Christ the Son, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, which is one eternal God, to be judged according to their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. We're going to be judged at the last day. We're going to sit there, the book's going to be opened, and he's going to find out, did we serve evil? Did we serve good? Judging our works. Who's going to be judging us? From this passage, it looks like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Each of them bring a different aspect to the judgment. You think of, why do they need three of them? Well, we're going to go into that. But they make up one God. They're different individuals, different thoughts, and they bring different things to the table. And I first want to start there before we know. I answer, do we know God? I want to say, I want to answer the fact, what is God? Who is it? What is he like? And those sort of questions. So that's what I'm going through first. Take it back to the creation, if you will. Very beginning. Revelations 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, these things saith the great Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Who is that? Who is the true witness? The faithful and true witness. Oh, this is interactive, by the way. Jesus Christ. That's who they're talking about. He was the beginning of the creation of God. He was the beginning. Yeah, and then it says the next one, gives us the rest of the picture. Who is in the image of the invisible God, Jesus Christ, right? The invisible God, because nobody's seen God the Father at any time, it says, at that time anyway. The firstborn of every creature, he was before all, the beginning of the creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and that in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all were created by him and for him. So after Jesus Christ was created by God the Father, it appears Jesus Christ did all the rest. By this and several other verses. Just to give you an idea where God came from. And they, you know, the commentators speculate that he probably made the Holy Ghost then. You know, Jesus Christ. Whether God the Father did or Jesus Christ, I don't know. I think he's a personage. I think he's a personage myself. Three witnesses on heaven and earth. 1 John 5:6-8. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear a record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And there are three, and these are three in one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. Kind of a little tricky to understand that. There's three witnesses on heaven, and there was three witnesses on earth. And let me go to the next verse. This is another translation. Makes it a little easier, I think. It doesn't bear with the Greek, but they took liberties. And Jesus Christ was revealed, the Son, God's Son, by baptism in water, and by the shedding of blood on the cross. Not by water only, but water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms with his testimony. So God, Jesus Christ, came to earth through his dying on the cross, through baptism, he testified. And that was the covenant that we're to make for his bearing himself on the cross. And the Spirit of God confirms that truth. And it does to this day. And we can't do anything unless we have that Spirit of truth to confirm it. You know, we can't convince anybody. I'm convinced of that. We can't convert anybody. It has to be that Spirit. And I think we reign, as the scriptures say, but God gives the increase. And it's that Spirit that will actually, if you're lacking any faith, If you want to find the answer, that's who you have to go for. And he's always, if we humble ourselves, you'll find him. Always. He's there. A like-mannered one, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And our testimony on earth is our baptism. It's our testimony that Jesus Christ made. You can turn to 160 in the Book of Mormon. He had that testimony, that witness to God, that he was willing to keep God's commandments. Even Jesus Christ had that. And that's our witness before God today, and it's our witness before our fellow man. We make that promise, that witness, that covenant, and that testimony. They're all one and the same thing. And that's what that previous verse was talking about. And again, the Spirit beareth witness. And if we don't have that Spirit, we're not going to make it at the last day. The Son, what is his primary title? And you might come up with a couple on this. What is his title if we had to say the Son? Can you come up with Savior? That's a good one.
Messiah.
Messiah, yeah. Messiah.
Counselor,
Lord, all good ones. Not the one I'm looking for. How about one in there? Find the Son in there. The Word, yeah. That's what John identified him. And other places you're going to find it also. He is the Word. He brought, you know, and Savior's good. Nothing wrong with that. But the first thing he did, and it's his job. Let me go over the scriptures, and you'll see what I'm talking about here. John 1, 1 through 7. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same in the beginning was God. And all things were made by him. Who is that? Christ. And without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Who is that? The same came for a witness, to hear the witness of the light, that all men through him should believe. Who is John? Yes, John the Baptist. Thank you. A witness. What is a witness? To bear witness, to affirm one has seen or heard or experienced something, or who knows because he is taught by divine revelation or inspiration. And, you know, Paul, you know, he testifies that he received his scriptures, his training by God himself when he spent 3 hours in exile, if you will. He exiled himself when he was converted, and he received revelations to show him the error of his way, and he received that. We have a witness of the Holy Spirit. I assume that's why we're here today. That Spirit has made this true. And we ourselves go out and give witness. But that's what this means, a witness. The Word. The Word is given to mankind. And he hath power given him from the Father to redeem them from their sins. That's from, isn't it? Sometimes I spell that wrong. I get in their sins. I don't know. Because of their repentance, and he has sent his angels to declare the tidings of the conditions of repentance, which bringeth unto the power of the Redeemer, unto salvation for their souls. So God the Father has given Jesus Christ the power to bring forth that message of repentance, that gospel message, if you will. The gospel of salvation, if you will. It's called different things, but it's the way, the conditions of repentance. that we can come unto God, make a covenant. It's been the same since the beginning. Yeah, but it's God the Father that gave Jesus Christ that mission, if you will, to bring the Word of God to mankind and explain to him how he can come back from Adam's fall. The Word. The Word brings forth the plan. And he, Jesus Christ, it's talking about God there, but more specifically, based on the last verse, it's God the Son. Sent his angels to converse with them and cause men to behold of his glory. And he began from that time forth, and they began to that time to call forth his name. Therefore, God conversed with men and made known unto them the plan of redemption, the word of God, which had been prepared from the foundation of the world. And he made known unto them according to their faith, repentance, and holy works. Right from before the earth was ever formed, this plan of salvation was already laid. You know, way back when he had the time with his Father, it was laid out. You know, and at first, you know, this is at the very beginning. Adam and Eve stuff, this is right at the very beginning. God conversed with man. Had the Melchizedek priesthood right from the very beginning. And this is, you can read a similar one. They had repentance way back in Genesis. And this was their gospel back then. According to their faith, repentance, and holy works. It's not much that we have today. You know? Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in that Redeemer that was going to come forth to take away the sins of the world. They had to make a covenant back then. Nowadays, they had an oral covenant. Nowadays, we have a different covenant. It's through baptism. They had repentance. They had to change their ways right from the very beginning and live righteous lives. So right from the time of Adam and Eve, they had that gospel plan. They had to have their holy works, and they had to live righteous lives right from the very beginning. That was the gospel. They attained the Holy Ghost. One other difference, small, they attained the Holy Ghost after their covenant. They obtained that Holy Ghost. Nowadays, we make that covenant through baptism, and then we receive that covenant, or that Holy Ghost. It was the same from the very beginning. And the Holy Spirit, what is his primary title? If you had to come up with his title, we got the Word. God brought Jesus through the Word of Jesus Christ to the earth, that plan of redemption. Now we got this Holy Spirit. What is his primary title? Comforter is good. Guidance. Comfort. I heard that. Conscience. These are all good. See if this fits. Spirit of truth. And you can find this in different areas of the Bible. I've gave you three here. That would be the one he's gave in the when I set those three bear witness, you know, at our tombstone or at our thing. It's the Spirit of truth that will bear witness. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because they see him not, neither knoweth him, but ye are known to him, for he dwelleth within you, and shall be in you. But the Comforter, when he is come, there's that Comforter, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And one more, and I'll stick with John. Howbeit he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. Okay, that's where one of the ways he gets it, and there's others. Why he gets that title. That is his primary mission, to bring that truth. He will guide you in all that truth. And he shall not speak himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show unto you the things to come. You know, it doesn't say that he can't. In fact, this implies that he can speak for himself. You know, they say the same thing of angels. They say you can speak the words of Christ. You talk as an angel. But, you know, I'm Gabriel. Is that Jesus Christ speaking? No. They can speak for themselves, but their mission, the Holy Spirit's mission, is to convey the words of God the Father and God the Son. But he can. I fully expect he can express himself. I fully expect he has his own voice and conscience and thoughts. I fully expect that. It's interesting also. They always show him. I went online last night to show the three persons, the Trinity, and I couldn't find one picture. Isn't that something? They show God the Father, God the Son, and they show what? What do you think they show? Always. The dove. But I can find in the scriptures where it shows he's in the form of a man. But they don't show that. But anyway, I think his true form is in a man. Just like God the Father, and they talk together and say, let us make man in our image. You know, the Spirit has image, and it looks like us. Spirit of truth. What is truth? That's the Spirit, right? And the truth, and this is right out of Strong's, when they say that of John, I just went to the Strong's reference in the Greek, and it says this truth is taught in the Christian religion, respecting God in the execution of his purpose through Christ, and respecting the duties of man, opposing alike to the superstitions of the Gentiles and their intentions and inventions of the Jews, and this corrupt opinions and precepts of false teachers among the Christians. So, in essence, they called the gospel the truth, is what they're talking about. The gospel was the truth, you know, and the other is an error. Truth, error, you can find that. And so, you know, sometimes it doesn't really make sense when you read the truth, but with the way you use it is always, you know, not always, but several hundred times, the truth is the gospel of Christ, the word of God. And that's what they're talking about. First Ephesians 13 says this, in whom ye also trusted, after that which we have heard, the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were sealed with his Holy Spirit of promise. The word of truth. So that's what an example. It's the gospel of salvation. Have you heard the truth today? That's the gospel of salvation. Okay? So you just know that when you're reading the scriptures on truth, the Spirit of truth, they're talking about that salvation. The gospel of repentance, baptism, faith, laying on the hands. They're talking about that stuff. That's the truth. Convincing power of God. That's another role. And the Holy Ghost has many. I'm not going to go over all of them. But he has many roles as God. This is one of them. 3 Nephi 13:41. It shall come to pass that when the Lord seeth fit in his wisdom, that they shall minister unto all the scattered tribes of Israel, unto all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, and shall bring them out to Jesus Christ, many souls that are desire that they may be fulfilled. Sorry. Their desire may be fulfilled. And also because of the convincing power within them. Who are they talking about here? You guys know? Who are the ministers here? That's a tough one. It should come to pass when the Lord shall see fit in his wisdom. That hasn't came yet, totally. Shall minister. This is talking about the three Nephites. They're going to be among us. And the convincing power of God within them. Not even they can convert. It's the power within them. It's Jesus Christ, that Holy Jesus Christ Spirit, that God the Father Spirit. That Holy Ghost is what makes the power. It's what does the convincing. And you'll find it, whether you're reading about the sons of Mosiah, that, you know, they had that convincing power within them. That's the Holy Spirit. You know, we can do all we do, and we do, but it's God will drive that opinion home. He knows exactly what they want to hear, they need to hear, and he will convince, just like he convinces us in our life. But that's the job of the Holy Spirit. Another job, 2 Nephi 13:16. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins and witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon him the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by the following your Lord Savior down into the water according to his word, behold, then ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. So it's a seal of God, isn't it? It makes us his. We made that promise to God. He gives us that Holy Spirit at that time. And, you know, not all of us are going to speak with prophecy, like the world would say, you know, unless you've spoken by tongues, and they don't even know what tongues is. You know, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Certainly, that's one of the gifts, and that's one of the signs. And if somebody's speaking truly in prophecy, they definitely have the Holy Spirit. But it says the Lamanites. It says, what does he say in 3 Nephi, the 5th chapter, the 50th verse? It says, they got the Holy Spirit, they were endowed with it, and they knew it not. So, by this verse is a great verse. He says, you can be assured, if you've taken baptism with no falsity, that you can be assured you have that Holy Spirit, that it has came unto you. It's a promise. We can be assured that it's going to happen. You make that commitment, you're going to get that Holy Spirit. It's going to be that seal that you're going to have at that last day. Working within. Another job of the Holy Spirit. Another job of God, the Holy Spirit. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh within you both to do, both to will and to do his good pleasure. And you'll hear the second part of that many times, that God works within us. And it's absolutely true. You know, he's the one that helps mold us into that creature that he wants to live with forever. He couldn't live with the first Adam because his nature was evil. And all man's nature, not the little kids, but all man's nature is to him repulsive. And he can't live with that. But he gives us that spirit twice, many times actually. He gives it the day of accountability, if you will. And that's called our conscience. We haven't got to that one yet. But he also gives us that day of your baptism. And it works within us to mold us. It doesn't force us to do anything. We always have that free will. And we can choose to, you know, he's speaking into our ear. He's talking. He got a little closer when he's inside us. But we can still not listen. Because that devil has still got the other ear. But he's trying. He's pleading with us. Don't do that. You know, don't make that wrong choice. But we can choose other. We'll never give up our free moral agency. We'll always be free to go against that advice, against that prompting. We'll always have that. But at least he's helping us. He's telling us, don't do that. Do this. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Our conscience. Was another name you guys gave, a very good one. That's another job of the Holy Spirit. And I don't have all the jobs, like I say. The job of the Holy Spirit, when you're given apostleship, eldership, prophecy, those things you can get during your life as you need other responsibilities. If you're called to a priest, you'll need certain duties and responsibilities. You'll need that Holy Spirit given. If you're called to the eldership, now you have to be lay on the hands. So throughout our life, the Holy Spirit is given for very many things. And the first time it's given, is for the Spirit. Let me read it. Moroni 7:14. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that they may know good from evil. Wherefore I show unto you the way to judge. For everything that which is tended, invited to good and persuadeth to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power of and the gift of Christ. If you read in Romans, they probably hadn't heard the gospel. And he told them that the world it was when they were into that homosexuality, into that murder, the world it was evil. And they had no excuse, even if they hadn't heard the gospel. Why? Because it tells them in the second chapter, because they have a conscience. They had the conscience. God gave it to every man. We know within our heart, it testifies what is evil. So we are without excuse, even if you haven't heard the gospel. You're responsible for that which you know, good and evil. They hadn't, you know, I don't know if they had the complete gospel in many parts of the world, but they are responsible for that good and evil. And that includes a lot. What primary title would you put on him? What does he bring? Son brings the word, Spirit brings the truth, whether the truth of, you know, good and evil. That's the truth. That's his theme, if you will. What is the overall theme would you put on the Father? There's a lot, probably. Love? What was the other one? I'm going to go with love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And we have known and believed that the love of God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God that he hath not seen? God is love. That is his nature. And I would say that's the overall nature of God, the Son and the Spirit. The overall nature is love. But God the Father is what brought that to the table. And he brings that to our judgment. And you might say, well, then how could people go to hell? And it's much more comfortable if you're not in that condition. You do not want to be. I don't know what it was. I can't find it to this day. When I was a kid, I watched this show, and there was this guy, and he was complaining, man, this is hell on earth, he was saying. And you know, he talking with this other guy, and then it finally went to where he was staying. He was staying with a bunch of Christians. You know, it was so torturous for him to be around the Christians. And I wish I could find that little clip, and I don't know what it was on. I've watched the episodes. Chris watched the episodes. I don't think it's on the Twilight Zone. But I don't know. It was one of those old Twilight Zones. And it's so true. And the Book of Mormon tells us exactly that. God is merciful. He won't make the sinner stay with the Christians. You know, they're going to go to their own place. But those that have changed and want to live that lifestyle and spend their whole life striving for that, he's going to work within us to change our nature, so that we can live with God the rest of our life. He is love. He's going to bring that to the judgment. That is his nature. Just a couple more slides here. God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, you think of that. You know, not only the Son, I have this caption here, there's no greater love here than this man. How could you do that for somebody else? Jesus Christ did that for somebody else. And you don't think about the Father. But which one of us mothers or fathers would like to see their children go through that? And it's not like they can turn away, you know. Not like they don't know that it's going to happen, but the suffering that he made him go through, right? It says that he suffered more than any man out there. He must have miraculously been kept alive just so that could be fulfilled. Can you imagine? That's love. That's great love. You know, what's the two great commandments? I don't have them here. Yeah, that's all the prophets and all the scriptures are go to that. That is the nature of God. That should be our nature. So love, the word, and the truth. So now I want to get back to the original question. We know what God brings to the table, the three aspects of God. Do we know God? And I want to go to two last scriptures. Alma 3:27. It's on page 314 in mine. I don't know about the old one. Close within a page. And now behold, I ask you, my brethren, the church, have you been spiritually born of God? Have you received his image in your countenance? Think about that. Have you received Jesus Christ's image in your countenance? Would others be able to identify it? They say, oh, that's a Christian there. He acts like Jesus Christ. Have you experienced a mighty change in your hearts? Have you exercised faith in the redemption of him who created you? Exercising faith, that's another name for, are you working in the gospel? Are you working to put those things right, those sins out of our life? Or are you angry? Hatred. Are you filled with those things? Do you look forward with an eye of faith to view this mortal body raised in immortality and corruption raised to incorruption and stand before God to be judged according to your actions, deeds, works, which have been done in your mortal body? I say unto you, can you imagine yourselves when you hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you, in that day come unto me, ye blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth. I'll read one more. Or do you imagine yourself you can lie at that day and say, O Lord, our works have been righteous works upon the face of the earth, and that he will save you? Or what they would say now today, O Lord, your works are righteous. Carry me home. Doesn't say that, does it? Moroni 7:51. Last one. Moroni 7:68. Thank you. I'll start at 50. And if a man be meek and lowly of heart, that's what I was telling you. If you want to find God, you just have to humble yourself. He's there waiting. And confess by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is Christ, he must needs have charity. For if we have not charity, he is nothing. Therefore, he needs charity. And you can find basically the same one in 12th Corinthians, I think. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And charity suffereth long, and it is kind, and envieth not. These are all the things, the nature of love. This is our countenance they're talking about. You know, it says we have to love. You know, that's not something, you know, that a man and a woman are attracted to each other and they love each other. This is something that we do. And by doing it, by sharing ourselves, by thinking of our fellow man, this becomes our nature. God helps us get there. Charity suffereth long. It knows it's a long haul. It is kind. It envieth not. Do you have envy? If not, good. Thinketh no evil. So the love of God puts away evil also. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. What is that truth? It's the gospel. Truth. The same word. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. You know, this life is not easy, but it's those hardships. You know, he says the hardships of this life, he used the word trials, and it's better than silver and gold. That's what makes us change. Without trials in our life, you know, a lot of times there's no change. That's God's tools, a lot of times, the hardships. It humbles us so we can find God. Endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, you are nothing, for charity never faileth. You know, in 2 Corinthians it says, faith's going to fail. Why does faith fail? Well, when you see God face to face. You know, when you're there at the very end and you have salvation, you don't have to hope anymore. They fail. But charity never fails. That's going to be with us the rest of our life, that charity. That's what it's talking about. And, you know, my thoughts go to Hugh. You know, once he's seen Jesus Christ, and once we have done that, those that have seen him, you know, you don't need to have faith anymore. You know. That's what they're talking about. The charity, that's what we're striving for. That's going to be with us forever. Wherefore, cleave to charity, which is the greatest of all. All things must fail, but charity is a pure love of Christ, also the Father. It endureth forever, and whosoever found to possess it at the last day, it will be well with them. They'll have God's Spirit, won't they? Because otherwise, you know, if you have the wrong spirit, that leads to anger, that leads to hatred, that leads to envy, all those things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of the heart that ye may be filled with the love which him that bestowed upon all that are true followers. You know, it talked about even before this gospel came back, there was true followers. It actually, you know, they made a covenant with God the best they could. And the church wasn't around. And they called them followers, the true followers of Christ. It's doing the best you can, making a covenant with him and repenting, changing our ways. True followers of the Son Jesus Christ, that ye may know, become the sons of God, that when he appears, what? We shall be like him. How's that? How is that? Have we put on God's countenance? For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope. That has got to be our hope. That we may be purified even as he is pure. I have a little caption there. They that claim to know God by their actions deny him. You know, are we being molded in the image of Christ? And if we have some problems, like many of us are still working on, the good news is we have time left. Don't waste them. Don't waste them.